Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study, Galatians chapter 1, we were talking about the amazement of Paul, about how the doctrine of salvation was being perverted by the Galatians. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, this shows, yes, there's going to be people out there. They're going to try to pervert it. They're going to try to cause problems. They're out there, folks, and they are obviously ignorant of gospel truth, and so they come and they try to invent something to place in there of their own. Now, he says here right off the bat in verse 6, I marvel. And he is saying this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit knew the mind of the Apostle Paul, and he gave him every word. And so when Paul says, I marvel, it's not only he marvels, the Spirit of God marvels, but Paul actually marveled. But that word marvel shows rebuke, yet it's love in addressing the problem. It's interesting because there are five words that can be translated marvel in Greek. Some could show just complete shock, to shudder, quake, or to tremble. And that's quite possible. It'd be terrible. But in this case, the word marvel is the most mild kind of marvel. It's the most mild word used, chosen to express his amazement. His amazement at the change in the Galatians, this church, concerning salvation. Now, we are admonished here to be on guard against any form of the deceitful snares of a works righteousness. So what is being said here is, when I received this news about how the doctrine of salvation is being perverted among you, it just broke my heart. That's the idea behind this statement when he says, I marvel. Whereas the word is a rebuke for their doctrinal error, it also shows the gentleness of the comforter. We must remember what the gospel is. You see, nothing should be added to it, nor should anything be taken away. In either case, whether you add or whether you take away, my friend, you do not have the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, we read the following. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, if you'll notice there, we're told he received the gospel. I like that. Why? Because he did not originate the gospel. Understand that. The gospel did not originate with the Apostle Paul. He received it of Christ. These are the historical facts of the gospel. So again, if you add to it or you take from it, then you have not the pure and right gospel of Christ. You have something corrupted, which is not a gospel, and therefore not the salvation that comes from God. That word gospel means good news. And you know what is really good about this good news? It's simply this. It's that Jesus Christ did all the work that our salvation required. I can't work for it. I can't be good enough for it. I can't deserve it. It's not me, my effort, and Christ. Oh, no. Jesus paid it all. He did it all. Mine is to receive it. And so, 1 Corinthians tells us that it was the work that he did that we simply could not do. What is that work? Well, it says there he died for our sins. Now, if I don't receive Christ, I will die as a result of my sin's penalty. Now, understand, when Jesus Christ died, he was dying for every sin I ever have or ever will commit. But you also have to take into account something, that I wasn't alive when he died, although I may have some of my grandkids and others that think I was. But I was not alive at the time, okay? But he died for my sins, and he rose from the dead 3 days later, bodily from the dead. He just didn't raise in spirit. He raised bodily. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, many years ago, had a lady come up in his church and said that she went to this liberal church on Easter in another town and had gone to that service. She says, you know, I've heard you say they don't really believe in a literal resurrection, but this preacher preached on the resurrection. And he asked the lady, he says, well, why don't you go back and ask him, does he believe that Jesus Christ arose from the dead 3 days later, literally, bodily from the grave? Not just in spirit, but bodily. She went back and asked him. The preacher just laughed. Well, no, who would believe that? And so they kind of cover what they believe with deceit. And, of course, that's what the devil is. He is a deceiver. And so what you have to be able to do, if you're going to do it on your own, if you're going to try it by works, doing the best you can or whatever, then you have to be able to die and be buried, and 3 days later, raise your body physically from the grave. But not just that, because blood is supposed to have been shed for your sin. So, therefore, you take your blood, and then you make your body not only eternal, but your body to be able to pass through the heavens and appear in that judgment room of God, that room where the great mercy seat of God is, and apply your blood. And then you got to hope he accepts your blood. And for your blood to be acceptable, it has to be perfect, without sin. Now, if you can't raise yourself from the dead and make yourself eternal, you need a Savior. And my friend, Jesus Christ is your Savior. He did all the work. It is ours to receive it. And I hope that you do. I hope that you do. Now, it is a disgrace to forsake the biblical doctrine of grace. Now, we see in this passage that there is also a responsibility of faith in what has been taught according to the Word. Even if there are trained Judaizers who seek to subvert it. Can I just say this to some of you parents that send your children to a Christian college, and I think it's good if it's a good, solid, fundamental Christian college. But one of the main issues to make sure of is, where do they stand on salvation? They may teach something else. Find out if they accept the Word of God as the Word of God. Did they believe that it was inspired? God breathed every word. And that, as the Bible says in Psalms 12, 6 and 7, as Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle would pass away in the book of Matthew. See if they believe that it is preserved in full. And my friend, if they don't believe that the Word of God is fully preserved for us, if they don't believe that it was inspired word by word, instead they believe in a thought kind of inspiration, only thoughts, and the men wrote their own words, and the Holy Spirit just kind of guided them in that, but didn't give them each word, reject it. It is a place of deceit, and it will subvert your children's mind. And understand, It's like I said, trained Judaizers. Your child's mind may have been well taught in your home, but their mind is usually not ready to compete with a PhD on the college level when they're 18, 19, and 20 years old. And I think that you know that. So I'd be very careful. And here we are looking at that. Well, what a disgrace it is to forsake the biblical doctrine of grace. And that's actually what is going on with the Judaizers here at the Church of Galatia. After Paul has left, they've tried to move in, and they are trying to do their damage. So he marvels because they have left this gospel that saved their souls, and they know they got saved that day, for another gospel. And so this is a place that we're looking at now when he says another gospel, to see the Greek word for another. Now, the Greek word heteron is used, and it means another of a different kind. And this word another is different from the Greek word allo, which is also interpreted another, and it means to be another of the same mind. Now, to illustrate the difference between allo, another of the same mind, and heteron, which is in our text here in verse 6, to be another of a different kind, I believe the best way to explain it is with the use of an orange. Now, I'm here in Florida. We have different kind of orange trees. For an example, there may be a temple orange. Maybe I should use temple because we also have the Old Testament and the Greek word there. Okay, so let's just think of the temple orange. There's a temple orange. But then there are also navel oranges. Okay? If we give you a temple orange, then you can say, I'm holding in my hand an orange. But if I give you a banana, then you can say, well, you know what? A banana is different. You see, the navel orange is different from a temple orange, only in that it's another, but of the same kind. It's another of the same kind. But when it is the other Greek word that is used, it's another of a different kind. So if I gave you a banana, that would be different than either orange. The two oranges, the navel and the temple, would both still be oranges. But a banana is never an orange. There is no likeness of kind.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.